All right, tonight I'd like to look in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 as a kicking off place. This is not, we're going to read the verse and then leave it. It's one of those preacher things, you know. And so, but I want to just read Hebrews chapter 11 and beginning in verse 1. And we want to speak about faith and the operation of faith and how that it blesses us to live by faith. I think oftentimes we believe that we live by faith, but sometimes we don't really understand even what it is. But we want to give you some examples in the Old Testament. We're going to kick off here in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 and just speak about faith. But really, the lesson we want to give is in the Old Testament. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, the Bible said, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Now notice in verse 2. We know that's the definition of faith in verse 1. But verse 2 says, "For by it the elders obtained a good report." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come before Your throne praying, Lord, tonight that You might bless. I pray, Lord, that You might just give comfort and peace and help us that we might ourselves receive a good report because we've lived by faith and not by sight. Help us, Lord, to understand what it is. And Lord, I pray that You just bless us as we live, that we might be found fit, faithful servants of Yours. And Lord, that we might be able to receive the blessings that You have waiting for us if we just walk by faith. Keep us now, Father, for it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. In verse 2, the Bible said, "For by it," that is, by faith, the elders obtained a good report. I think a lot of times we think the folks that lived under the Old Testament were somehow different than we, that the things that we go through is tougher than what they went through, but it's really not. It's they're people just like we are. And there were people in the Old Testament that had dead faith. There are people in the Old Testament that had living faith. But we want to be the kind of people that have living faith. You remember this morning in Deuteronomy chapter 8, and let's just turn back there. We mentioned this passage about the reason that the Israelites were fed in the wilderness for 40 years with manna. And the Bible tells us why. And the whole purpose of God feeding the Israelites with manna was so that He could teach them faith. Read it here in Deuteronomy 8 and verse 3. Read that again. We read it this morning, but just touch it. It said, "And He humbled them, and He humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know." And here's the reason that He fed them manna: "That He might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live." You see, God fed the Israelites manna. He could have fed them fried chicken. I mean, He did feed them quail. And quail's real good. He could have fed them the best that there was, but He chose instead to feed them manna. God could have chosen anything to feed them. But God chose a brand new product just for them, manna. You know, I've never seen any manna. I don't guess they make it anymore. God could make it. He made it then. But what He wanted the people to learn was to live by faith. You see? That's what He's saying here in verse 3. "That He might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone. Rather, you live by every word of God that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live." That's how we live. That's living by faith. And you remember the Israelites, every morning they had to go out and get their day's supply of manna. And if they went out one morning and tried to gather enough for 2 days, well, it would rot and turn to worms. Except that was on the sixth day, then it was good for the seventh day. And that was just teaching the people that God will provide for you every day. Don't worry about tomorrow. Boy, what a lesson, right? Living by faith. Living by faith. We need to learn to live by faith, because that is where peace is. But really, the practical part of living by faith is obeying God when there's no evidence except God's Word that He's going to do what He said He would do. Now, that's what living by faith is. Because if you look around you and look at all the circumstances of your life, you can't live by those circumstances. Because they can look real promising and just turn to dust. Or it can look like real dust and just turn to real gold. If you look at circumstances, you're going to cave in. But if we look to the Lord and His promise and just trust the Lord, God will bless. Now, I didn't say it was easy. Sometimes I think it's kind of difficult. Sometimes I think it's a lot more difficult for me to live by faith than it is to live by sight. Because I got this old body, and this old body likes what it sees. And so there I am. But I want to give you a couple of examples. There's 3 or 4, 5, 6 of these. How much every time we've got, and I'll preach till you get tired and I look like you're going to sleep. Well, I'll stop, all right? But I won't go that long. Don't try to go that long. Don't want to wear you out, but I want to get to some of these points. Look in the book of 1 Kings, chapter 3. And there's a lot of good things here to look at in the Old Testament about the way that God wanted His people to live. Because He wanted them to live by faith, and God will always give us the victory when we live by faith. Now, the book of 2 Kings, chapter 3. And in this place, Jehoshaphat, who is a king of the nation of Judah, I believe it's Judah, he is going to battle. Ahab is there, and a couple of kings are there. The Bible said in verse 9, not going to read all of this, in verse 9, so the king of Israel went and the king of Judah, now one's Ahab and the other is Jehoshaphat, the king of Edom, they fetched a compass a 7 days' journey. There was no water, and this is important, there was no water for the host, for the cattle that followed them. So now, the king of Israel says, well, God has brought us out here to kill us all. And there's three kings and we can't do anything. And now we're going to die before the king here of the Moabites. Jehoshaphat said in verse 11, we need a prophet of the Lord. And Jehoshaphat always says that. And of course, the other kings know that he is. So here they bring in verse 11, they bring in Elisha. In verse 12, Jehoshaphat said, the word of the Lord is with Elisha. He will give us what God said. And in verse 13, Elisha says unto the king of Israel, what have I to do with thee? What have I get thee to the prophets of thy father and to the prophets of thy mother? So here he's saying, why don't you go and call a prophet of your own which don't know anything to the king of Israel? And then he says, no, the king of Israel said, no, can't do that, for the Lord hath called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of the Moabites. So the king of Israel says, wait, we cannot go to those gods. They don't tell us anything anyway. And if we don't get help from God, we're doomed. I think that's a pretty good point, isn't it? You see, they didn't have anywhere to turn. And the thing about faith is that you don't have anywhere else to go. You've got to trust the Lord. That's the point about living by faith. God always arranges the circumstances of our lives so that we know who's done it. He boxes us in, closes us in, like He did with the Israelites in Deuteronomy chapter 8. When He had them wandering out there for 40 years and they didn't have a can of soup with them. They didn't have anything with them. They didn't have any water. They didn't have They didn't bring one onion out of Egypt to eat. They didn't bring anything. God put them out there and gave them water and He gave them manna every day to prove that they need to live by faith. God does it. God boxes us in so that there's no place to turn except to God. That's what He's done right here. Now, Jehoshaphat knows that there's no place to turn, and the king of Israel knows it too. That's why he says what he did in verse 13. Verse 14, Elisha said, "As the Lord of hosts liveth." Here's what Elisha said, because he don't think too much. He don't think too much, this Israeli king. He says, "Before whom I stand, surely, were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, I would not look toward thee nor see thee." Here's the thing. You go and you serve false gods, the prophet of God may not even pray for you. I mean, you need to think about that. We need to think about that. We need to serve the Lord and have godly friends on our side. Here Ahab is going to be helped only because Jehoshaphat's there. Verse 15. But now, he says, "Bring me a minstrel." And it came to pass when the minstrel played that the hand of the Lord came upon him, and he said, okay, here's what he said. "Thus saith the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. For thus saith the Lord, ye shall not see wind, neither shall ye see rain. Yet that valley shall be filled with water, that ye may drink, both ye and your cattle and your beast. And it is but a light thing in the sight of the Lord. He will deliver the Moabites also into your hands, and ye shall smite every fenced city and every choice city, and shall fell every good tree, and stop all wells of water, and mar every good piece of land with stones." Now here's the thing. Remember, back over here in verse 9, the Bible said that these three kings went out, and they searched in a compass of 7 days all the way around where they were camped, and there was no water. Here's the thing. You got this army out there with no water and they're facing an enemy. What's happened is that God has boxed them in. God has boxed them in. Just like He did the Israelites in the wilderness for 40 years. He just confined their area so that they're just in a straight place and they've got no place to go but God. I tell you what, it's always tough to get in one of those places, but it's always good to be there too, because God's going to do something. God is going to do something, and He does it over and over again. So here's what God said. In verse 16, God said this, "Okay, you hot, dry, thirsty men, get out your shovels and dig ditches." Serving the Lord is easy, isn't it? Being faithful to God is not always easy. It's really not. But I want you to see this. Before God would ever do anything, this army had to dig ditches. Let me ask you a question. What's living by faith got to do with digging ditches? It has a common thing. It's obedience. That's all it is. It would be just as relevant if God said, "Here's what I want you to do. I want all you guys to sell all your horses and get camels." It's the same principle. The same principle. Just do what God said. God said, dig ditches. The Israelites and the people from Judah were supposed to dig ditches before they saw one drop of water. This is living by faith. You don't look at circumstances and live by faith. You don't do that. You look at the Word of God. You do what God said. And what God said is the way to do it. And God will bless, but God will never bless until you first dig the ditch. That's the way it works. Living by faith. Living by faith is doing just that. Well, what happened? The Bible said in verse 20, it came to pass in the morning when the meat offering was offered that behold, there came water by the way of Edom, and the country was filled with water. Now, where did that water come from? Say, well, had a big rain up there? No. Said, you shall not see any rain. You shall not see wind. But that valley is going to be filled with water. You know, when God fed the Israelites those quail out there in the wilderness, you know where they came from? They came from that quail farm where they got loose up there, right? If you read the Bible about that, you'll find that those quail came right out of the sea. Amen. God brought them. He brought them out of nowhere. And that's what He did with this water. And that's what God will do. He'll bring us. He'll take care of us. He'll take care of us and feed us with manna. And He had to put some in the Ark of the Covenant so people know what it is. God will do, that's living by faith. God will do that. So, there it was. And the guys, they dug those ditches. But they dug the ditches first. God filled them up with water. And boy, they had water. Wow! It was worth it, wasn't it? It was worth it. The Bible said they rose up early in the morning. The sun shone upon the water. The Moabites saw the water on the other side as red as blood. And they said, this is blood. The kings are surely slain. They have smitten one another. Now therefore Moab to the spoil. And when the Moabites came down there, they found, whoops. The Israelites were still alive. Verse 24, they came upon the camp of the Israel. The Israelites rose up and smote the Moabites, so that they fled before them, and they went there forward smiting the Moabites even to their country. Went all the way down to where the Moabites lived. Why? Because they had strength, because they drunk that water. See, and they obeyed the Lord. The Lord said up here in verse 19, you smite them to every fenced city. That's why they did that. That they went all the way and smote, and they won. And they took it over. They took it over. Verse 25, they beat down the cities and on every good piece of land cast every man his stone and filled it. They stopped all the wells of water and felled all the good trees. Only in Kirharsheth left they the stones thereof, howbeit the slingers went about and smote it. Of course, in verse 26, 27 tells you what the Moabites did, but that's their problem. We're talking about living by faith. We're talking about that when God says do something, you ought to do it, and God will take care of the rest of it. God will honor His Word. God will bless His Word, but God will do this to us because He loves us so much, He will get us into a place where there is nothing else for us to do but trust the Lord or disobey Him. But if we obey the Lord, He'll always bless us. He'll do that. All right, next one. This is one example. Here's another one. Second Kings, chapter 4. Just the next chapter right there. Right there handy. Okay? Look at this. Verse 1. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. Now that's a bad situation. Because the husband's dead now and he's not there to provide. And they've tried to live. And now they're in debt. And she's going to lose her boys. She's going to lose everything. But you notice in this, verse 1, that here's a faithful woman. She had a faithful husband. She said in verse once, he said, "And thou knowest that thy servant, that is my husband, did fear the Lord." You know that. You know his lifestyle. But now he's hurting. And he's gone, I mean, and we're hurting. So at verse 2, Elisha said unto her, "What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house?" She said, "Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house but a pot of oil. That's all I got." Elisha said this in verse 3. Okay, go. What I want you to do, I want you to go. I want you to borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors. Knock on every door. I want to borrow every pot you can spare. I want to borrow every pot, every vessel you can spare. I want to borrow it. How many neighbors? All the neighbors. Even empty vessels, borrow not a few. You just go. You get all the pots you can get. And here's the instructions. Now this is living by faith. This is obeying the Lord. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, three people in the house, and shall pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. Okay? How many pots of oil did she have? She had one. Okay, you get all the vessels. This is the thing she's got to do. You know? Somebody says, "Wait a minute, you mean living by faith, I've got to do something?" Yeah, you got to obey. You got to obey whatever it is God tells you to do. You got to obey it. Isn't it amazing? God gives us His commands and people say, "But those are for somebody else. It's not for me." Yeah. That's the way of blessing. Obey the commands of God. Whatever God says, do it. So I don't think it's necessary to do it that way. So, does that change God's mind? No. You do it God's way. You do it God's way. The Bible said, so she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. Now, so she went and got the vessels. She left Elisha, and she got all those vessels in the house. She closed that door with her and her sons in there. Her sons began to bring her the empty vessels. She began to pour out of that one she had. See the work she's doing? It is God that's doing all the providing, but it's this woman that is believing what God said. And she's just, does it make any sense? I mean, I got a quart jar here, and I'm pouring out of this quart jar into a 5-gallon bucket. I got 55-gallon buckets sitting here. How many of them do I expect to fill up? Now, this widow woman, she took this vessel of oil and began to pour it out into the 5-gallon bucket. She began to pour it out. And she poured it out. And the more she poured, the more it filled up. So that don't make any sense. Listen, a lot of things that God does just doesn't make any sense to us. But if God said do it, we do it. God takes care of the end of it. He will always hold up His bargain. His end of the thing. He will always do it. Our part is to believe God and trust God when it looks like it can't happen. Did you know that's how I was saved? You too, huh? I was saved when it looked to me like this ain't going to happen. And I got in the box. I mean, literally, boy, there was no place for me to go. God just kept squeezing. He just kept squeezing until there was nothing that I had left. And I just had to say, "Lord, I am lost. I am a sinner. I'm going to die. I'm going to hell. And I might as well go right now and get it over with. I deserve to go. And Lord, save my soul." Say, well, that's almost desperation. Because it's trust in the Lord. It's total trust and believing what God said. God will do for us. He will supply. He will do that. He did for this lady. The Bible said, here's what happened in verse 6. Came to pass when the vessels were full that she said unto her son, bring me yet another vessel. I still got the original. I didn't lose it. Bring me another vessel. I can still pour some more. And they said, there's not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. She came and told the man of God. And he said, go, sell the oil, pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. Living by faith. Who made the difference there? Listen, would this widow woman, would she be able to say, boy, that Elisha, everybody ought to go hear him preach because he is a good preacher. Is that what she'd talk about? I don't think so either. I think she would say, you need to go to God because He can take care of you. See, it's God that gets the glory, not the man. Would she brag on her two sons that brought her the vessels? No. Would she brag on her neighbors that loaned her the vessels? No. Would she brag on the merchants that bought the oil? No, she bragged on God that gave her the oil. Out of nothing. I mean, that's what would happen. That's exactly what would happen. And so, we just need to believe the Lord. We just need to believe what God said. I want to turn to the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. Here's another one that I tell you, the Bible is just absolutely, literally full of these passages of victory that we can have if we just do what God tells us to do. And that's our whole thing. For me, that's my whole thing. It's just understanding what God says. And He tells us right out of His book, right out of His Bible, what He wants us to do. The book of 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Now in this place, Jehoshaphat is in trouble again. Now, he hadn't done anything. In verse 1, the Bible simply says that the Ammonites came up against Jehoshaphat to battle. In verse 2, there were some that come and told Jehoshaphat, hey, do you know you've got an army out there that's going to come and kill you? And Jehoshaphat said, no, I did not know. And he went out there, and there they were. In verse 3, look at this. And Jehoshaphat feared. And why not? When he looked at what was in front of him, when he looked at what he was facing, he knew he was going down. The Bible said that he feared. Have you ever feared? Have you ever looked around at the things that was going on? Have you ever looked at the circumstances over here or over there and been afraid? What does the Bible say about fear and how God wants us to be? Listen, this is real to me. Because I'm a person, I'm a man, and there's things that I get afraid of. There's things that I get nervous about. There's things that I get anxious about. The Bible said, perfect love casteth out fear. You know what that tells me? It tells me when I'm fearful or anxious or all nervous about something that it's because I'm not trusting God the way I should. I just need to trust God. God loves us. And God has given His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross that we might have everlasting life. Do you think that He's going to withhold stuff from us? I mean, He's given us His Son. He's given us everlasting life. He's given us a home in heaven. He's prepared a mansion for us. Do you think He's going to not give us stuff we need? He will. Now there's a difference between what you need and what you want. You know, I got a great big long want-to list. But my need list is pretty small, really. My want-to list extends for centuries. But my need list is just today. There is a difference in those. But God will always do that when we live by faith and walk by faith. All right. So he's afraid. And so, look in verse 3. And you say, well, Jehoshaphat should not have been afraid. But he was afraid. What did he do when he was afraid? This is what we ought to do when we look at situations that we face in this trouble, in this trials. Here's what he did. He set himself to seek the Lord. He set himself. I mean, he got down to business. He's going to find out what God wants him to do. Not only did he do that, he proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. Here's a man who could not rest because he was trying to do what God, and he was wanting him to do. He was seeking the will of the Lord in the thing. Much troubled about it. In verse 4, Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Well, that's a good thing to do. Remember this. God, in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, He put the Israelites in a place where they had nothing except what He would give them. And God does the same thing for us. He puts us in a place where we've got nothing but what He gives us. And that's way better than we can ever get for ourselves. I'm going to say that again. God puts us in a place where we'll have nothing except what He gives us. But what He gives us is a lot better than we can ever get for ourselves. Understand that. Living by faith. Verse 5, Jehoshaphat stood up in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court, and he prayed. And his prayer goes down through verse 13, where it says, and all Judah stood before the Lord. They stood before the Lord with the little ones, their wives, and their children. They were empty, had nothing except what God would give them. And here, beginning in verse 6, Jehoshaphat just pours out his heart to the Lord. And he says, Lord, you know the trouble that we're in, and you know how that the Ammonites have come and the Moabites, and you know how that you wouldn't let us get those, but now they've come to get us. We didn't do anything to them. And that's essential. And listen, when you're facing these difficulties, that's how you need to pray. You need to pray and go to the Lord and tell Him all about it. Tell Him all about your fears. Tell Him all about your anxieties and your worries, and tell Him what you're facing. Talk to God about it. When I say pray, I mean talk to God. Talk to the Lord about those things. You see in verse 13 that they stood there. They stood. Didn't mean they were irreverent because they weren't kneeling. But the condition of their heart was that they were kneeling. Of course, they were standing physically there before the Lord. There was a lot of them that was there. Verse 14, they heard from the Lord. God will give us His Word. Now, sometimes God answers soon. Sometimes God answers later. But God will give you His Word, and He'll always bless you. And the thing that He'll bless you with will always be better than you can get for yourself. I want you to notice the lineage of this guy. Verse 14. Then stood up Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mahatriel, Matatniah, here he is, a Levite of the sons of Asaph. Now, you can check that out just a little bit, and you'll take him all the way back to David. And they gave that genealogy so that you would know he's a prophet of God. And you remember this, that there's a lot of false prophets out there that they'll tell you a lot of things, but it's got to be what God said that's going to give you a blessing. It's going to be what God said, not what somebody else says. And here came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation, and He said this, hearken ye, all Judah. Here's what the prophet said. Hearken, verse 15. Hearken ye, all Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid Isn't that something? Back over here in verse 3, Jehoshaphat feared. And he went to the Lord with his fear. He said, Lord, I'm afraid. And the Lord said, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Perfect love casteth out fear. God don't want His people to be afraid. God don't want us to be nervous. God don't want us to be filled with anxiety and dread and fear. He doesn't want that. But He wants us to be a people of peace and trusting the Lord. Whatever comes along, God wants us to just believe what He said. So He says, don't be afraid. By reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. That's what He said. Verse 16. Tomorrow. Wouldn't you like the solution today? I don't think I want to wait till tomorrow. I think I want it today. I don't think I want the answer now. Why did God say tomorrow? Couldn't God have done it today? You better say yes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. He could have done it. He could do it today. But this is not like when Moses asked Pharaoh, when do you want me to move the frogs out? And Pharaoh said tomorrow. It's not like that. Because this is God's choice. Not Jehoshaphat's. This is God's choice. But He said, tomorrow, but here's the thing. Here's the thing I want you to see in this. That we need to have faith in the Lord before we see the answer. We need to have peace from the Lord before we see with our eyes what God is going to do. We need to believe what God said, and that gives us peace. We should not wait until we see the result, until we get peace. We need to have peace when we hear God's Word. Look at this. Okay, verse 16. Tomorrow, go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Zurel. Ye need not fight in this battle. Set yourselves and stand ye still. And see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. He told them again, don't be afraid. You know why? Because that's our natural tendency, to be afraid of things that we don't know. It's our natural tendency to be afraid of the unknown. God said, don't be afraid. He said it twice. But don't be fighting. You're not going to fight in this battle at all. Tomorrow, He says it again, tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Now I'll show you this wonderful thing. And this is the way we really should be. We should be at peace before we see the answer. When we hear the answer, we should have peace. Verse 18. Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. But they hadn't seen the victory yet. The multitude was still there. But God said, it's going to be okay. That's when they worshiped the Lord. That's when they had peace. And that's when we ought to have peace. Before the enemy is destroyed, we ought to believe that God is going to have peace. We ought to believe that God's going to do it. He's given that. Verse 19, the Levites, the children of the Kohathites, the children of the Kohites, stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. I mean, they had a good worship service there because they heard the word of the Lord from this one man. Now, nothing had changed except they got the word of the Lord. Nothing else had changed. Verse 20, they got up early in the morning. They didn't sleep in that day because this is tomorrow. This is the day when God's going to show us. So they got up early to see the victory that God's going to give to them. They went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa, and as they went forth, Jehoshaphat, the king, stood up and said, okay, this was not the prophet now. This is Jehoshaphat, the man in verse 3 who is afraid. But now he's not afraid. And he's taken his army, which is small, and going before the great multitude of the Ammonites, and he says to his people, "Hear me, O Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established." Well, that's the truth. That's good for right now. That's good for what we're facing. Well, may God help me to be like that. May God help you to be. May God help us all to be established in it. Believe His prophets. What would we say today instead of believing His prophets? We'd say, believe what the Bible said. Believe what the Bible said. God will do. God will answer His prayers. Trust in the Lord. So shall you prosper. And then in verse 21, they had a consultation. They talked it all together, one with another. He appointed singers unto the people that they should praise the beauty of holiness, and as they went out before the army. So here's the singers that go out before the army, and they're singing, "Praise the Lord, for His mercy endureth forever." I think that's a psalm, isn't it? They're praising the Lord. They're worshiping the Lord as they go out to battle. In verse 22. Now look, what a blessing it is. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir. What happened here was that until the people praised, there was no ambushment set. See that? What God wants us to do is believe Him first with no evidence. Because that's what living by faith is when you're just trusting the Lord. When you're just believing what God said. That's what faith is. It's the evidence of things hoped for. It's the substance of things not seen. That's what it is. And so that's what they did. They went out there and they began to sing. They consulted together and said, "Well, we're not going to fight. We might as well sing." So they went out and they sung. "Praise ye the Lord, for His mercy endureth forever." The children of, verse 23, the children of Ammon and Moab rose up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. When they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, every one helped to destroy another. They just killed each other. They just got to killing each other and couldn't get stopped. And there they were all dead. And Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness. They looked upon the multitude, and behold, there were dead bodies falling to the earth, and none escaped. They didn't even have to chase them down like Jehoshaphat did over in the Book of Kings. So they came, and they took away the spoil. It took them 3 days. That's in verse 25, gathering of the spoil. The fourth day, they assembled together, and there they praised the name of the Lord. It's easy to praise the name of the Lord when the thing is over. It's easier. It's more natural, maybe I should say, to praise the name of the Lord when things are over. But we ought to praise the name of the Lord and have confidence like Jehoshaphat did in verse 18. When Jehoshaphat, when no circumstance at all had changed, Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground and know that God's going to take care of things because he heard from the Lord. That's what we need. How many more of these? Well, I got at least two more. But I won't go through those. I'll give you this little bit about them. King Joash was blessed in defeating the armies of Syria because he simply trusted the Lord. Elisha, at that point, was on his deathbed. And King Joash came and said, "I don't know what we're going to do." And in effect, he's saying, "I don't know what we're going to do when you're gone. Because you're the representative of God. And you're the one that lets us talk to God. And we don't have anybody when you're gone." And so Elisha said, "Here, take this bow." And he took the bow and he said, "Take the arrow, put the arrow in the bow, okay. Point it toward the window, toward the east." And so he pointed toward the window, toward the east, and he said, "Shoot." And he said, "Shot." He said, "That's how you're going to defeat the Syrians." And Elisha said, "Take the arrows." And so the king Joash took the arrows and he took the arrows and he struck three times to the ground and he stopped. And Joe asked, what are you stopping for? If you'd have keep on, now you're going to smite the Syrians three times. If you would have just kept on, you could have defeated them more times. You should have hit five or six times. You didn't. But that's the victory. Limited victory in that case. I think of Naaman, the leper. He was told to go down and dip in Jordan seven times. He didn't like the river Jordan because it was dirty. He said, there's a whole lot better rivers up there where I'm from. But God said, go down and dip in Jordan seven times. I wonder. You reckon that Naaman was healed a little bit each time he dipped? Or was he healed when he's dipped seven times? That's what I think. That's what I think. I think when he came up that seventh time, he was whole. When he went down that seventh time, he was just as leprous as he could be. When he came up, that's when he was whole, because that's when he obeyed. That's when he obeyed. But, you know, we just need to obey the Lord. We just need to obey Him, be faithful to Him, and just trust God in circumstances. Sometimes we don't even see why God's doing what He's doing. But it's not up to us to see and understand why He's doing. It's up to us just to believe what He said and do what He said. Every day, to live by faith. I trust that this message has been a blessing to you. It has been to me, and I trust it has been to you. In studying and reading about this, it just thrills my soul. The more that I read that, the more that I see it, what a blessing it is to see what it means to walk by faith. Because you don't see the end of it. But all you know is that you've got to do what God told you to do. You've got to be obedient to Him. Even though God said, take that vessel and just pour the oil out in that 5-gallon bucket. Close with the door closed. I'll take care of it. You know, God will do that. God will do that. We're living in times. Always have been. But we just need to trust the Lord and believe what God said. Live by faith. I pray that God will help us each one that we might do just exactly that.